And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to EAA Radio, and I am Wireless Mike. And today we're joined with Jim Rankin. He's the president and CEO of Air Wisconsin Airlines Corporation, and also Afterburner Al is with us today.
Good afternoon, Mike. I'm kind of curious. I don't know the history of how it got started in this area.
Well, that's kind of a long question. We're just coming up on our 45th year. Which for an airline is a huge milestone. I think 4 or 5 years is a huge milestone. So 45, I think, is incredible. But we actually started in Appleton in 1965. And at the time, it was really founded by a group of businessmen that wanted to have traffic or feed from Appleton down to Chicago O'Hare, where they could link up with United Airlines and continue on to wherever their final destination was. And it was really started that small. We've done a couple of acquisitions over time. At one time, we were purchased by United Airlines. We were a public company. Now we're a private company. We're actually the largest privately held regional airline in the United States. And our affiliation now on the flying side is with U.S. Airways. We fly 70 CRJ-200 aircraft, and primarily up and down the East Coast. We do just about 500 departures a day. So we've grown a lot over the years, and it's been an exciting ride with, as you can imagine, the airline industry is often has its ups and downs, and we've ridden those for 45 years.
And that's one of the, at least in the recent decades, one of the challenges of a regional airline is to keep those affiliations with some of the majors. What kind of creative methods have you used to kind of keep your company and this business sustainable?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. We when we started back in '65, we really primarily were our own brand, and so we sold tickets, had a reservation system, had a call center, all the rest of that you would normally expect in an airline. And then we moved into an affiliation with United Airlines in the mid 1980s. Really, one of the first mainline affiliations in the industry. And then we started a prorate system where we would share the revenue that passengers paid, whether they were connecting on with the United or staying on Air Wisconsin. And then in about 1993, United owned us at the time and sold us to a group of investors, six individuals, three of which were here in Appleton and ran the airline, and three which were in New York. And they actually started a new system that has now caught on, and it's by far the vast majority of regional airline business models now, which is a fee-for-departure system or a cost-plus system. And so we actually started that with United back in 1993, and we've done all kinds of things. As a matter of fact, recently, or just a few years back, we were the lead DIP financer for U.S. Airways when they were in bankruptcy for the second time, and we helped them come out of bankruptcy and merge with America West. So It's been an interesting ride. A lot of things have gone on that one wouldn't expect would change so much in a small airline based in Appleton, Wisconsin.
What do you see as the future of what kind of equipment will service regional airlines? Because they do go to the more off the beaten path destinations, but certainly still essential.
Yeah, I think generally it appears as though that the majors want larger aircraft. We fly 50-seat regional jets, and, you know, 10, 15 years ago, that was really the Cadillac out there. Actually, I always tell people, when I started flying back in 1990, I flew a Beech 1900. And at the time, I was based in Muskegon, Michigan, and there were the Beech 1900s, Shorts 360s. There was the Dornier 228, which everybody always said was the airplane that came in the Shorts 360 box, and Metroliners, which were the cigar tubes. And at that time, the Beech 1900 was absolutely the Cadillac of the regional industry with pressurized cabin and everything else. And in such a short period of time, regional jets came in and really took over the regional industry. So the 50-seaters primarily now are at their maximum. They're starting to wind down their life, and we're seeing 70 seats and even up to 90 and 95 seats. So primarily, as we look forward, it looks as though larger regionals are what's going to be demanded.
How much does Air Wisconsin participate in essential air service? And I know that there have been some modifications recently to that kind of funding.
Yeah, we don't do any EAS right now. It's very difficult to do EAS with a regional jet. And since that's the only aircraft that we have right now, it really doesn't lend itself to EAS subsidies. Obviously, with the essential air service, you're getting a subsidy from the government. and they're trying to get the lowest amount of subsidy possible. And so if you're flying into very, very thin markets that need the government subsidy just to exist, you're certainly not going to need 50 seats. But then also, you're certainly not going to want to pay the high trip costs that are associated with a regional jet, especially as you indicated. If you're on a shorter stage length, the cost of a regional jet is significantly higher than a turboprop.
And now, of course, the human resources side of flying, there is going to be a shortage of pilots, even though it's been talked about for 10 years. Eventually, there will be a shortage of pilots. How has the sources changed over, say, 15, 20 years?
Yeah, well, certainly, you go all the way back, say, 30 years ago, and a large source of pilots was the military. We're certainly not seeing that nearly as much as we did in the past. For one thing, the military is doing a better job of hanging on to their pilots, and they really do try to attract the pilots to stay to retirement, and many of them do. And then there's just fewer of them. So military, we still get a fair share, but primarily it's through civilian channels. So that can be flight instructing, cargo, charter. And then you do have some that come from ab initio programs that have fairly low time, but the time that they have is very, very valuable time. That's one of the things that you look at as you're hiring pilots is, okay, how many hours do you have, but what are those hours? If it's 1,000 hours doing the same thing, if it's basically, flying in clear blue VFR conditions, doing sightseeing tours, for example, you may not give that quite as much weight as somebody who's flying at night in the weather in IFR conditions. So you really take a look at a broad brush. Obviously, what you're trying to do is get the best candidate that you possibly can, and you weigh the person as well as their experience.
Airline pilots, probably from an airline's perspective, are the most standardized, and certainly that is the model that works as far as staffing a daily flight schedule. Are the airlines going to take more a larger role in training their pilots from, say, day one, say someone who's right off the street? Do you see it heading that way at all?
We certainly do in the international markets. You look at China, you look at India, and some of the countries that are just facing huge, huge pilot shortages. And they actually take pilots that take applicants that have absolutely zero flight experience, and they run them through a program that gets them to their commercial and their instrument rating in a small airplane. A lot of those programs are based right here in the United States, most in the Southwest. And then they'll go from there pretty much right into the right seat of a jet airliner. So again, hours don't always equate to experience. It's really what the time is. And if you look at the military, I think they're probably the best example. When you see some of the fighter planes that fly around here at EAA, many of those guys have just a few hundred hours.
Yeah, I was actually kind of surprised at the low amount of flying time that military pilots have, and it must be the effectiveness of their training programs. What do you see for Air Wisconsin as far as a route structure, expansion, or what is the most effective business model for Air Wisconsin in the future?
Yeah, it's a really good question. It's one that we ask ourselves quite a bit these days, because the market really is changing. The fee for departure program, which is what we're currently under, it's the one that I mentioned we started in 1993, is one where we basically sell all of our capacity on the airplane to a major airline partner for sometimes up to 10 years in advance. And so we have a very steady revenue stream. Whether there's 25 people on the airplane or 50 people on the airplane, the operator, us, we really get paid the same. That works fairly well for us. It certainly smooths out a lot of the hills and valleys of the industry. But when you look at what the major airlines are indicating they would like to do, is they're actually looking at trying to get more of a prorate system back, where you're sharing the revenue, but you're also sharing more of the risk. And so as we watch the markets and as we watch demand for flying from the major carriers change over the next few years, it'll be interesting to see which way they go. I mean, right now, the industry is still in contraction mode. We actually was pulled down probably about 10% of our flying last September. A fair amount of that came back over the summer, but it looks like in the fall, a lot of that traffic will probably be pulled down again, just because of the state of the economy. So we really need to have the economy get back. We need to have major airlines growing. We need to have regional airlines growing again. And those days will come.
Well, we're proud of our hometown airline, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Jim Rankin is the president of Air Wisconsin Airlines Corporation. For Wireless Mike, I'm Afterburner Al. You're listening to EAA Radio.